Christmas. I do want to tell you that if you go to Canada and buy a Tilly hat, and if the hat is eaten by an elephant and pooped out and you can give the remnants of that hat, they will give you a new hat. So whoever was dealing with the sock, you might want to hold on to the sock, or maybe it has that same thing too. That's part of their advertisement. If you have trouble with your Tilly hat while you're out having adventures, they'll replace it. I think everyone should know that. I have my Tilly hat. I hope you do.
It's never been eaten by an elephant.
Who's the youngest person in the room? I would make an argument for Ralph Finch. I'd make an argument for Lois Francisco. There's something about youthful people of any age that's special. I hope you've noticed I didn't send you to First Kings. We're doing something different today. And I'm not sure how this is going to work, but we're going to try. There's a guy by the name of Richard Beck that I ran across this week. This is a different Beck from the one that some of you run across. I'll go no further with that. This is a Richard Beck who has a blog called Experimental Theology. And he tells this week that he wrote three blog entries years ago, 2007, I think. And that this year he had had such interest in these, he was going to print all three in one piece. And I read that piece and thought I hadn't read anything so powerful in years. So stealing shamelessly from Richard Beck, I'd like to ask you. Some of you saw television come in. Others of you, television had always been here. Around Christmas time, one of the things that television does well, maybe, is they have put on some Christmas specials, specifically for children. And every year, they show them again. Now, a long time ago, they'd show them once. And if you missed them, you had to wait a year to see them again, right?
Yes.
Okay? And question one...
I'm sorry.
I don't get that very often. I'm usually the one saying I'm sorry. And for good reason, just in case you don't know. What are the ones you remember? It's possible for some of you that you watch these with your children. It's possible for some of you that you watch these with your grandchildren. But what are the ones you remember? Sorry? Okay. Charlie Brown Christmas comes to mind. Wonderful Life is not so much for children. That's for adults, I think. I'm gonna make that rule. Yeah, that's an opera that I have some memory of. So, Charlie Brown Christmas, Frosty the Snowman,
Rudolph.
Thank you. Rudolph the Red Nosed Reindeer. The Red Nosed Reindeer. How the Grinch.
Christmas story,
I think, was for children, but that wasn't an animated special.
No, I'm talking about animated.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah.
That's a song. Is it
that,
a
that is it. It's how Santa came to be. He had red hair originally.
I remember it.
I'm going to focus myself on those three. What he says in his blog, Richard Beck, everything I needed to know about Christmas, I learned from television.
Not
No, it's not. It sounds it, but it's not. Listen to what he does with this. What do you learn from the Grinch who stole Christmas? Sure. You remember the story? Here's the basic plot. The Grinch lives in the mountains high above Whoville, thank you. And he hates the noise associated with Christmas. And he hatches a plot. Horton hatches a who, but the Grinch hatches a plot. That was supposed to be funny. He dresses up like Santa Claus. He ties a horn on the head of his dog, Max. He comes down to the village. Max looks like a reindeer. He looks like Santa Claus. And in their disguises, they come into Whoville. And he proceeds to do what? He stole every Christmas present, every Christmas tree, every decoration, all the food, packed it all up, and headed back up the mountain just before Christmas Day dawned. And his plan was simple. He figures if he takes away all the Christmas stuff, the Whos will not be able to celebrate Christmas. But the Grinch is wrong. Comes the climactic scene. The Whos come out of their houses without a single piece of Christmas paraphernalia, no presents, they all begin to sing. Welcome Christmas, come this way. Welcome Christmas, Christmas Day. Christmas Day is in our grasp just as long as we have hands to clasp. Welcome, welcome, Christmas Day. Upon hearing the song, the Grinch has a revelation. And I quote, "And so he paused. The Grinch put a hand to his ear, and he heard a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, and then it started to grow. The sound wasn't sad. Its sound sounded merry. But that couldn't be so. But it was. Merry. Very." He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes, and then he shook, for what he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. It hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came, somehow or another, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. And then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't thought of before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means just a little bit more. This realization had such a profound effect on the Grinch that his heart, previously 2 sizes too small, grew 3 sizes that day. And I learned from how the Grinch stole Christmas that Christmas was more than ribbons and tags, more than packages or boxes or bags. Christmas was more. But the deeply puzzling thing about how the Grinch stole Christmas, watch it as many times as you want, you will never hear just what Christmas was truly about. How the Grinch stole Christmas is a negative tale. It tells you what Christmas is not, but it fails in a quite puzzling way to tell you what Christmas is. So as a child, Richard Beck says, I was left in quite a quandary. Christmas was clearly very special, but it was still a mystery. Luckily, there was more TV to watch. And part of the mystery of Christmas would be revealed to me in the quirky tale of a mutant reindeer and his friend the elf who wanted to be
a dentist.
I believe there's enough of you in the room that are with me on this. Right? After watching How the Grinch Stole Christmas, I knew there was something special about Christmas, but How the Grinch Stole Christmas never says exactly why it's special. But I got a clue to answering this question by watching that classic Christmas program, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. The entire plot of Rudolph centers around... No, not Rudolph. Misfits. Well, all the misfits. All the misfits. They start with two. This elf who doesn't want to work in Santa's store. He wants to be a dentist. Here's Rudolph. The other reindeer won't play with him. right? It centers around misfits. Not just those two. What happens? Do you remember the elf's name? Hermie?
Yeah, Hermie.
Hermie? You got that, didn't you? Rudolph obviously has some kind of genetic mutation. He's got a red nose, and that's just not natural. He's shunned and mocked and excluded from reindeer games. Hermie has a different problem. He's terrible at making toys. He doesn't enjoy singing in the elf choir. What he really wants to be is a dentist. But for this curious interest, Hermie is, like Rudolph, ostracized and made fun of. They are both quite clearly misfits. This is captured in a mournful song they sing. We're a couple of misfits. We're a couple of misfits. What's the matter with misfits? Where do we fit in? We're not Daffy and Dilly. We don't go around willy-nilly. Seems to us kind of silly that we don't fit in. We may be different from the rest, but who decides the test of what is really best? And they left Christmas Town, Rudolph and Hermie, setting out on their own. Remember who they met? Yukon Cornelius. You remember him? And with Yukon Cornelius, they go on a journey. And where does that journey take them? To the island of misfit toys. We're on the island of misfit toys, they sing. And here we do not want to stay. We want to travel with Santa Claus in his magic sleigh. A pack full of toys means a sack full of joys for millions of girls and millions of boys. When Christmas Day is here, the most wonderful day of the year, the jack-in-the-box waits for the children to shout, "Wake up! Don't you know it's time to come out?" Toys galore scattered on the floor. There's no room for more, and it's all because of Santa Claus. But how would you like to be a spotted elephant? Or a choo-choo with square wheels on your caboose? Or a water pistol that shoots jelly? We're all misfits. How would you like to be a bird that doesn't fly? "I swim," says the bird. Or a cowboy who rides an ostrich, or a boat that can't stay afloat. We're all misfits. At this point in the show, all the misfit themes are coming to a climax. We see misfits seeking community. We see empathy and compassion as one misfit identifies with another. And then the story takes a most radical, surprising, and extreme turn with the personification of evil in the form of the abominable snowman. One of the misfits happens to be Hermie, happens to be his dentist skills, ministers to this evil, evil snowman. And what do you learn? He's a misfit too. And they find a place for him in their community. And that's what I learned. Something about Christmas means misfits have a place, a community, a home. Or, to rephrase, Christmas means there are no more misfits. But I was still puzzled. From How the Grinch Stole Christmas, I learned Christmas was more than presents and Christmas trees. And from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I learned that Christmas had something to do with misfits finding a place of love. But in both shows, the reason behind it remained elusive. Why do misfits have a home? And what does being a misfit have to do with Christmas? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer never says. I was still puzzled. Luckily, there's more TV to watch. I've got my partner here. I finally got my answers in a speech delivered by a little boy who carried a blue blanket. Do you remember the subtitle of the Charlie Brown Christmas? The True Meaning of Christmas. In Charlie Brown's Christmas special, Charlie Brown is struggling to find out why Christmas is so depressing. Where does he go? He goes to Lucy, in her psychiatrist shop.
Doctor's in.
Right? 5 cents, the doctor's in. I'm sorry, are we kind of close to being on track with this? We okay? Lucy gets him to direct the school Christmas play. and that does not go well. Eventually, Charlie Brown is rejected as director and told, okay, here's something you can do. Go get us a Christmas tree. Most of the symbolism of a Charlie Brown Christmas is focused on that tree. Out of a place filled with shiny, bright, artificial trees, Charlie Brown picks out a real tree. It is forlorn. It is little more than a branch, but it's real. He takes the tree back to the cast, and they laugh at both him and the tree. And that ridicule pushes Charlie Brown over the edge. And he finally screams, would somebody please tell me the true meaning of Christmas? And at that point, Linus steps forward. But before we think about Linus's answer, let's talk about that little tree. It's a humble little tree, not much to look at. It's rejected and despised by men. And yet, it is real. All those flashy other trees are dead, cold, and fake. They're empty and hollow. But that fragile little tree is real. Fragile, but real. And all that taught me that whatever Christmas is about, it's about something humble. It's about something fragile and weak. It is about something despised and marginalized and overlooked. But it is life. And it is real. And so humble that it's easily overlooked and easily passed over. So, let's summarize what we've learned so far. I learned that Christmas was more than presents, more than trees, more than Christmas food, and had something to do with finding community. I learned that because of Christmas, there's no more misfits, no more outsiders, no more marginalized ones. I learned about empathy and compassion and communities made of people who had been misfits. And I learned about how community can be the root for the redemption of evil. And here with Charlie Brown, I learned that it is the humility of Christmas that makes it often overlooked and despised. But all the way to this point, with all this TV viewing, no one ever connected the dots among these things. No one had ever spoken the words that would explain just what all this stuff had to do with Christmas. And I perfectly understood why Charlie Brown screamed, won't somebody please tell me the true meaning of Christmas? And Linus stepped forward and explained it all. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I'm going to pause for just a moment and remind you of the words from Isaiah that are quoted in the Messiah. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. Two different things, all embodied in our Savior, Jesus our Lord. A child is born, a son is given. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill. That's the lesson I'm going to give you this time.